Always good to come home, and I feel more and more like this is my home, and I know that you are my brothers and sisters, so thank you very much. There are many mysteries in the scriptures, and God wants us to know and understand them, but God also hides it from those who do not want to know the truth. The disciples on one occasion said to Yeshua, "Why do you speak in parables to them?" And here was his answer. "It is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but not unto them." If a person doesn't want to know the truth, he will not know it. I remember taking a course in Old Testament Introduction at seminary. The professor had no understanding of the mysteries of the kingdom of God in the scriptures. He dealt with it as literature and criticized it and attempted to tear it apart. This is why the Lord Jesus said to Rabbi Nicodemus, "Unless a man is born again, born of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He doesn't have the capacity to perceive the kingdom of God." You see, it's necessary to be born of God's Spirit in order to have eyes to see, spiritual eyes, ears to hear, and a heart that would understand what the mysteries of the kingdom of God are all about. And I love to study the Word and discover a mystery, there are many of them, and then for God to open it up. Because the truth, the understanding, is given by God. Today I want to examine the mystery of Melchizedek. And in it we will discover the wonderful truth of Yeshua's high priesthood and what it means to us. So I want to start with the text in Genesis 14, verse 18. "Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed Abram and said, 'Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand.' And Abraham gave him a tithe of all." Remember, Abram was his name, and God changed it to Abraham, the father of many nations. Here's what I believe, and I'll explain why, is that Yeshua was Melchizedek prior to his incarnation. We will explain why I believe that. But I have 3 points. I have to reduce it to 3 points. I could go much further than that. Yeshua is a unique high priest, as was Melchizedek. And Yeshua is a benevolent high priest. And Yeshua is a faithful high priest. Those are simple points, but loaded with meaning for us, very relevant. So first we want to look at Yeshua as a unique high priest. His priesthood is unique because it is eternal. In Psalm 110, we have a messianic prophecy. King David was also a prophet when he wrote his Psalms. Psalm 110 is a messianic prophecy. David wrote, "The Lord said to my Lord, 'Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' And then he said, 'The Lord has said unto me, the Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek.'" Well, let me give you a background to this original meeting between Abraham and Melchizedek in Genesis 14. Remember, there were 5 kings and their armies that invaded the land, destroyed Sodom, and took Lot, his nephew, a prisoner with his family. And Abraham miraculously pursued them and defeated them, and now he was returning with the prisoners and all of the loot. And out of nowhere appears Melchizedek. The inspired writer of the book of Hebrews points out some important details of Melchizedek in Hebrews 7:3. Melchizedek appeared without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor the end of life, and made like the Son of God. He remains a priest continually. Melchizedek was a strange person in that his genealogy was never revealed, which would have been the natural way of identifying him. But he neither had a beginning of days nor the end of days. Now Yeshua, the prophecy of his coming, was that he was to come out of eternity, whose goings forth have been old from everlasting, Micah said. And Isaiah said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And then here are some of the names that he will be called. El Gabor, the mighty God. Aviad, the father of eternity. So he came from eternity. Now Yeshua offended some of the orthodox leaders in his day by something he said in John 8, verse 56. He said, your father rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jewish leader said to him, you are not yet 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. But when he said that, the leaders took up stones to stone him to death because they felt he was blaspheming, because he used the title I am. This is not a grammatical mistake. He said, before Abraham was, I am. And they knew that when Moses came to the burning bush and was being sent back to Egypt, he said, I'm going back, but whom shall I say sent me? And God said, tell them, I am, have sent you. This was an astonishing statement. And he said, Abraham saw my day and was glad. When did Abraham see the day of Messiah, Yeshua? He saw it through Melchizedek. And notice, Melchizedek gives to Abraham the first communion. In verse 18 of our text, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. Bread and wine. Abraham was glad to see that God's high priest was to bring atonement through his sacrifice. Now, whenever Yeshua said, amen, amen, or verily, verily, I say unto you, he was saying, this is indisputable, absolute truth. What I'm going to tell you is unchangeable truth. Before Abraham was, I am. A Dead Sea Scroll, which was found in Cave 11, talks about Melchizedek. Now, it's interesting. This was written about 100 years before the birth of Jesus. And it talks about Melchizedek and refers to him with divine names such as Elohim. And the scroll referred to him as the King of Angels. And according to that text that was found, Melchizedek would come and proclaim the Day of Atonement and that he would atone for the people who are predestinated to him. And the scroll said, he will also judge the world. Yeshua said, before Abraham was, before Abraham existed, I am. I am the God of the burning bush, the God of Israel. And that's why the leaders wanted to stone him to death. So you can understand why rejecting him is such a serious offense before God, because of who he is. Yeshua's priesthood is also unique because he's both king and priest. He is the King of Kings and he is the high priest. According to the Levitical covenant, a king from Judah could not be a priest. Now we have the story in 2 Chronicles 26 of King Uzziah and his pride. He was from the tribe of Judah. He came into the temple and he wanted to do the work of a priest, to burn incense before God. And the chief priest and 80 priests came after him and said, "No, this is not permitted. This is prohibited. You must leave the temple immediately." And the king was so insulted, he was going to hit the high priest, and immediately God struck the king with leprosy. And when the priest saw that, they threw him out of the temple. Now as a leper, he could not live with his family anymore. He had to live in a private home. He could not come back into the temple ever again in his lifetime. And he died a leper. But he tried to usurp the place of the priest, which was prohibited by Scripture. But Jesus is superior and greater. As Melchizedek predated the birth of Levi and Aaron, and Jesus is greater than a Levitical priest, for he is both king and priest. Now, we are all priests of God in this new age of the church. In fact, we are told in the Word of God in Revelation 1:5, to Yeshua who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own body and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So there will be a day when we will have assignments to rule, to reign, but we are priests. You don't have to be a clergyman to pray. You don't have to be a clergyman to come before God and praise him. You and I are priests of God according to a different order. Now, secondly, we discover that Yeshua is a benevolent high priest. He is benevolent in that he comes to bless us with his righteousness. See, the name Melchizedek is important. It means King of Righteousness. This is a unique title. One who is the King of Righteousness. Humanity lacks righteousness. I'm talking of true righteousness. I'm talking of righteousness of the heart and mind. Listen to the word of God in Psalm 14, verse 2. This again is from the Tanakh. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are they who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. When the so-called new atheists look at religion, they criticize it and they point out the fanatical terrorists who will kill innocent people believing that that will ensure that they will go to paradise and they'll have 72 virgins to fulfill all their sexual fantasies. They point to clergy who molest innocent children. They review the religious wars of history and their failures of religion. And they say that proves there is no God. If there was a God, there'd be no evil. And they advocate the elimination of all religion and all faith and all truth and doctrine from the public square. They claim that atheism is the best answer to the world's misery, but they overlook the hundreds of millions of people that were killed by communist governments. They overlook all of the tyranny of the communist governments in Russia and Ukraine and Korea, China and in Cambodia. They refuse to acknowledge what atheism has done to so many, to deny them of their freedom. The real problem of evil is human nature. And if it is involved with religion, it will corrupt it. If it's involved in government, it will corrupt it. If it is involved in any philosophical system, it will corrupt it. Now, the atheist is ignorant of God's redemption. God could have wiped out mankind from the very beginning, saved himself a lot of heartaches, saved himself the necessity of sacrificing his son on the cross to bring redemption. But God wanted to redeem us and to reconcile us. I want you to listen to an amazing prophecy in Isaiah 45:8. Rain down, you heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open. Let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. God's promise of bringing the righteousness of God to the earth, to Yeshua. So Yeshua is the King of righteousness who blesses us with true righteousness, the inner righteousness of God. He also is the benevolent high priest who blesses us with his peace. He's called Melchizedek, the King of righteousness. And he's also called the King of Salem, which means peace. Righteousness comes to us through Jesus, and reconciliation with God comes to us through our great high priest. So in verse 19, our text notice what Melchizedek said to Abram. Blessed be Abram of the Most High God. Now Melchizedek connected Abram to the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, who has all possession, all resources, created them out of nothing. Now, this same Savior has connected us with God. He could say and name you and say, of the Most High God. He could say, Eli, of the Most High God, the possessor of the heavens and the earth. Isn't that a beautiful truth? In John 20, verse 17, the resurrected Jesus said to Mary, go to my brethren. He called his disciples my brethren. Something happened, a new relationship. And say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Since we are now the children of the Most High God, the possessor of the heavens and the earth, we can depend on him to help us through this life and into eternity. When I was 15 years old, I've told you several times this experience, I had an inferiority complex because I knew I had some real serious limitations in life. I had asthma, chronic asthma, I had poor vision, I had poor grades, I was not very intellectual at the time. I remember thinking, I have nothing to offer God. And I suggested to God, well, you're my Father. Now, if I live long, I'm going to be embarrassed. I'll be on welfare. So rather than you be embarrassed with me and that I live an embarrassed life because I wanted to have a worthwhile life, why don't you just take me to heaven? I wasn't suicidal, but I thought that would solve the problem. And God spoke to my heart and said, I want to show you what I can do with your life. And so now I've seen God has done many wonderful things for which I am grateful. I understand why people without Jesus are afraid to take a risk in life. I remember a job I had during Christmas, I may have told you this, at the Goldsmith department store in New York City. And there was a man there that for 25 years he sold shirts. It was a counter for shirts. And that's where he was. And one day he showed me a drawing that he drew, a wonderful cartoon. And he said, you know, Walt Disney and I were buddies. We went to art school together. And before he left to go to Hollywood, we both didn't have very much money, he said, why don't you come with me? We'll be partners. And we'll share whatever happens. If we succeed, we'll share 50-50. He went to his wife and said, Walt has invited me to come as his partner to Hollywood. She said, no way. You have a job. You have security. We have enough money to feed our family, and we have money for paying the rent. And she didn't want to go. And so he said to Walt, I'm sorry, but I'm not going because I have at least security. I can't go out. Well, sure, later he regretted because he could have been a very wealthy man. Don't ever be afraid of taking a risk with God. If God leads you to do something, as irrational as it may seem, make sure it's God dealing with you, then take the risk and you'll be glad that you place your future in his hands, because Yeshua is a benevolent high priest. He has brought us in reconciliation with God. When we enter God's presence, we enter his presence as children. What a beautiful truth. Why are we afraid to pray? Why are we afraid to share our needs with the Father who loves us? Thirdly, Yeshua is a faithful high priest. He's a faithful high priest because he watches over us. I told you this too. As you get older, you have many of these precious experiences. But when I was a young believer, I went to a church that did not believe that you had any security in Christ. And he said to me one day, he said, you know, you're going so fast, you're going to find yourself coming back. He couldn't understand how someone at the age of 15 had such zeal for Jesus when his son Raymond had no interest at all in spiritual truth. And he said, you got to be careful because you could lose your salvation. Well, with an inferiority complex, that really troubled me. I thought, wow, I'm lost. I'm finished. And I remember talking to the Lord about it. And the Lord gave me an insight. I know you'll remember this. It's a precious moment for me. I could visualize Jesus in my imagination suffering on the cross. And I could visualize the agony written all over his face. And I could hear him say to me, once I get you, I will never let you go. I said, that's good enough for me. And I didn't doubt it. Him anymore. Listen to Hebrews 7, verse 24. But Yeshua, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood, never been changed. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them, for us. He's always making intercession. That's why he's existing. That's the purpose of his eternal life, to be our great and wonderful, faithful high priest. Jesus does not save us halfway. There were times in my life, as a believer, I failed him, but he never failed me. And he knows all about it and intercedes us even before we fail. Listen to the story of his words to Peter in Luke 22. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Yeshua knew that Peter was going to deny him. He knew the test was going to be too much for Peter So he was interceding for Peter even before it took place. And what was he asking the Father? That Peter's faith would not fail. But Peter's faith did fail. Before the next morning, he denied Jesus three times. But the Lord restored him because he belonged to him. He brought him back. And 2 Timothy 2:13 is an amazing verse to me. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Now, some of us may go through a trial that will test our faith to its limits. Many of you that have gone through tough times, he cannot deny you because you belong to him. And even though your faith crumbles under the pressure of the trial, he is faithful to you, because if he denied you, he would deny himself. That's the close relationship we have with Jesus. I know there are people that go through great stress and great trouble, and even though they pray, it doesn't seem God's going to answer their prayer. What you need to do is hold on to your faith in him. I just can't get over that. If he were to deny you or me when our faith crumbles because of a trial, he would be denying himself, which he cannot do. So he not only watches over us, he also listens to us. Listen to Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. Some verses are so important in my experience, and I do like to go back to it often. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Remember David's prophecy? The Lord has said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. And he called the Messiah my Lord. He knew this. And we have this great high priest, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. See, he didn't have any sin in his nature. He was despised, he was rejected of men. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and yet he never sinned. He never lost his faith in his heavenly Father. We need a high priest and intercessor because we still have the old nature hanging on. But here's what the scripture says. Let us therefore come boldly, come courageously, come with confidence to the throne of grace. Now, it's interesting that the prayer throne is called the throne of grace. We don't come on the basis of our merits. We don't say, well, you know, I didn't go to the movies the last month, Lord, so you ought to listen to me. I mean, I remember the legalistic idea that we used to have in our early Christian experience. No, we come as we are, and we are accepted because it's a throne of grace that we may obtain mercy, and we all need mercy. His mercy is new every day for his children, and find grace to help in time of need. When do I need him? I need him in the time of need. And so he's listening to our prayers. I keep a prayer journal. I've told you about the prayer journal. It's good to, because then I remember what I prayed. I can go look it up. I remember that in March of 2005, my son David told us that the Air Force was sending him to Iraq into a war zone in order to oversee the various weather stations in the Middle East. I wrote out a prayer for his safety. I said, Father, I praise you for all the blessings on our family throughout the years. Lord, I pray for my son David that he would not be sent to Iraq, but he was sent. The Lord doesn't always answer our prayer as we pray it. But if it is your will that he goes, please send angels to guard him from any physical or psychological harm. David later told us, which he didn't tell us when he was in Iraq, that he was in some very dangerous situations. He was in a helicopter flying to a weather station, and there was a helicopter behind him that was blown out of the sky. He was spared. I told you this at night. He was in an air-conditioned trailer. And at night, the trailer next to him with his friends was blown up at night. The last day that he was waiting for his plane, a car bomb blew up within a few feet, I don't know how much, knocked him down but didn't hurt him, and he came back safe and sound. Well, this is a prayer that God heard. What would happen if God didn't answer the prayer? My heart would have been broken. Then it would have been a trial of faith. It has happened for many. And he prays that our faith will not fail us. So I have much to praise the Lord for. Now, in conclusions, let us demonstrate our loyalty to the true King of Righteousness and the King of Peace, even as Abram did. After Abram returned victoriously, which he was outnumbered, and we'd say today outgunned, and miraculously he defeated these five kings and their armies and brought the citizens of Sodom into safety. He was met by two kings. He was met by the king of Sodom and the wicked king in a wicked city. And the king thought, you take all the possessions, all the treasures that you have captured for yourself. Because that's how he would think. And listen to what Abram said in Genesis 14:22. I raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap. I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I've made Abram rich. The word Sodom means burning, and all that we obtain from this wicked world or from the enemy will be burnt up into ashes. But all that we receive from Yeshua, our great high priest, his righteousness, his reconciliation, his peace, will last forever. And where have you placed your loyalty? It takes just a moment to say, I want to be like my ancestor Abraham, and I want to pledge my loyalty to you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to have Yeshua as my great high priest, the priest of God, the Most High God, the possessor of the heavens and the earth. It's all you have to do is ask Jesus to come into your life. And he does. And you'll know for sure this is reality. But he's not going to force his way in. And may the Lord give you this truth. Because just like Jesus said, it's not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Well, if you're open and you want to know and you're honest with God, he will reveal the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, and you can leave today as a child of God, born of the Spirit of God. Let us pray. God can read your mind. And he knows your heart. He reads the hearts of people. And if it's your desire to accept the Lord Jesus, Yeshua, even though you have questions, yet you say, I'm going to by faith, Lord, I'm going to accept you now as my Lord and Savior. Or at least, if you are not at that position, to say, I'm not willing because I have too many questions, but Lord, I'm willing for you to make me willing to believe. And he'll do that. He's so gentle and so tender. He died for you. He rose from the dead for you. He's at the right hand of God for you. And he's interceding for you that you will believe and become a child of God. Lord, you hear prayers. We pray that you will speak to each and every one. Enable us, Lord, to have the wisdom from you to know and understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.